Well, something a little different tonight. But it's still the Word of God. So, but just a little different. I learned a lot from this little bit that we're going to do tonight. So, what's the most important city in all the world? Who said Arizona? No, that's not it. You're right, Jerusalem. Jerusalem is the most important city in all the world. It always has been and always will be. And tonight we're going to look at some important facts about Jerusalem, which is our new home, if you think about it. We are going to be there the day that comes, man. It's going to be fantastic. And some of the things I've learned tonight are pretty interesting. So let's go before the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, we come before you tonight, Father, to study your word, to learn more of this wonderful place that you have for us, Jerusalem, Father. We know that you are there, and we know that our Savior's there, and we know that our Holy Spirit is there also. So, Father, as we open the word tonight, I pray that you will bless us with what you have written and what you have written about this wonderful and beautiful place. And we give you praise and glory, Father, for it. In Jesus' name, amen. What does Jerusalem mean? What's the word mean? City of peace. Yeah. Pastor knew that. Yes, the city of peace. That's what it means. And it has always been the city of peace. If the whole world would realize that, we would not be in the predicaments we're in today. Just by that one piece of knowledge, knowing that Jerusalem is the city of peace. And it always has been and always will be. So tonight, let's go and look at a few things. And Jerusalem is mentioned 811 times in the Bible. You think it's important? Yeah. Hey, we're going to look at all 811 scriptures tonight. So, no, just kidding. But it's never mentioned one time in the Quran. This has never been mentioned in the Quran. Pretty phenomenal. It's called Salem on four occasions, including the first mention of it in Genesis 14:18. So if you'll turn there, Genesis 14:18. We just had a Bible study on this very subject here not too long ago about this king. But anyway, it's this city that we're talking about. Verse 18, and Melchizedek, king of Salem, brought out bread and wine. Now he was a priest of God Most High. He blessed him, and well, he's talking about Abraham, or Abram, at this time. But you notice that it starts out, he's the high priest. He is the priest of Salem. Okay, we said that Salem is mentioned on four occasions in the Bible, and this was the first place that was mentioned. So notice the last five letters of Jerusalem. What does it say? Salem. Yeah, Salem. So Salem is very important. In Psalm 76, verses 1 and 2, God says, it says this, God is known in Judah. His name is great in Israel. His tabernacle is in Salem, his dwelling place also in Zion. Now, Zion in the Bible also refers to Jerusalem. It refers to the Jerusalem 152 times in the Bible. Okay? So let's go ahead and turn over there, Psalm 76, 1 and 2. Let's read that. Psalm 76, verses 1 and 2. Somebody want to read that? All right, I will. God is known in Judah. His name is great in Israel. His tabernacle is in where? Salem. His dwelling place also is in Zion, which is the same place, Salem. Okay, so it refers to that. But notice it starts out at God is known in Judah. That's where the word of God has come from the beginning. His name is great in Israel, and it is. His dwelling place also is in Zion. It's beautiful if you think about that. So we know that. It's mentioned Jerusalem 152 times. It's also called the Holy City 10 times and the City of God twice. It is also called the City of Truth, the City of the Great King, the City of Judah, and the City of David. You guys, if you know of scriptures, go ahead and jump in here and just, you know, throw them out and we'll... Melchizedek. Of Salem, yeah. Mm-hmm. King of Righteousness was his name. That's what Melchizedek means. To this very day, the Jews still believe that Melchizedek was the Messiah. To this very day, they still believe that. Some of them. Okay. So some historical facts about Jerusalem. She was destroyed twice, once in Babylon in 586 B.C., and once by Rome in 70 A.D. She was besieged 23 times, attacked 52 times, and captured and recaptured 44 times. So a lot of battling has been going on in Jerusalem. And she's still being attacked today. It hasn't ceased. It has not ceased. But it's still in all these battles and everything that goes on in Jerusalem, God is still there. He is still there. Jesus is still there. They will not be moved out of it. Israel became a nation again on May 14th, 1948. Yeah. But it did not include Jerusalem. Remember what happened? The UN didn't recognize Jerusalem as the capital of Israel. Yeah. Okay. In June 1967, Israel took complete control of the city. You remember what Moshe Dayan did? Remember what he did? He gave control to the Muslims of the Temple Mount. And there's been problems ever since that was done. That was in June 1967 is when that took place. Now the first week of June since 1967 and ever since, the Jewish people celebrate Jerusalem days. They speak and are in unity of an undivided, unified city, the eternal capital of the Jewish people. And we just saw here just recently what our president did for Jerusalem. Remember, what was it? He recognized Jerusalem as the capital of Israel. Mm-hmm. But it created all kinds of different problems. What has happened is what we're seeing in our world today is there's a fantastic division going on. You're seeing all the losers on one side and all the winners on the other side. It's a very distinct line that's being drawn right now because of that. And it's a wonderful thing that is taking place at this time because it shows us that we're that much closer to the return of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen? Yeah. It just proves it. So let's look at some scriptures about the importance of Jerusalem. Let's go through the Bible and just look at some scriptures. And please, if you know of some scriptures that say something about Jerusalem, please go ahead, intercede and bring it out, okay? In Psalms 48:2, calls it the joy of the whole earth, the city of the great king. So Psalms 48:2. We're going to see a lot here in Psalms about it. Excuse me. Now this, my translation says, beautiful in elevation, the joy of the whole earth is Mount Zion in the far north, the city of the great king. If you think about that, if the whole world, like I said, we talked about the whole world realizing how wonderful Jerusalem is and why God has placed her where she's at and what's taking place there, we see this, they would realize that Jerusalem would be the joy of the whole world. the joy, and it should be in our heart all the time also. That's something that I've learned from this study. In fact, we'll see that in Scripture here in a little bit. Jerusalem should have a place in our heart because that's our future home. And we want to see her right now in peace, which everybody else does too, but we know it won't come. So in 87:2 says, "The Lord loves the gates of Zion more than any other dwelling place of Jacob. So Psalms 87:2. To bring back some of your Bible trivia. My translation says, "The Lord loves the gates of Zion more than all the other dwelling places of Jacob." Now that's got to be a beautiful, beautiful place if you think about it. If God's love for Jerusalem is that important, so it has to be so special. And we'll see too that He loves it that much. Look at Isaiah 14:32. Look what God says about it. Isaiah 14:32. Someone want to read that? Go ahead. Yeah. What a place. I mean, we know that the Bible taught us about the cities of refuge. Here's the main one right here for the entire world. For the entire world. And the afflicted of His people will seek refuge in it. That's us. So we need to be seeking refuge in Jerusalem. Okay? Go back to Psalms 137, 5 and 6. This refers to God's great, His chief joy. 137, 5 and 6 in Psalms. Look at there. This is very important. Like I said a while ago, we need to have that place. Jerusalem has to be in our heart. And the first, when I read this, looked it up and read it, it makes you think, how come I don't have that love for Jerusalem in my heart? And this kind of explains it. I mean, it just kind of shows, don't explain it, but it just kind of shows the feeling that somebody has for this place. He says, the writer says, "If I forget you, O Jerusalem, may my right hand forget her skill." That's kind of feeble. "May my tongue cling to the roof of my mouth, if I do not remember you, if I do not exalt Jerusalem above all my chief joy." So you see how important that Jerusalem is, why we need to have Jerusalem in our heart. To have that desire to be there with the Lord and with the other people who love her, love Him and love her, love Jerusalem. I'm calling Jerusalem her, so hope you're catching that. But you see how important it is to have a place in your heart for her, like God does. He calls it above my chief. He calls it my chief joy. That's beautiful. So we're going to look at some presence, the presence of God, in 2 Chronicles 6:6. It's after Kings. Everyone there? It says, "But I have chosen Jerusalem that my name might be there, and I have chosen David to be over my people, Israel." So here, this is why God has chosen Jerusalem, that His name might be there. And His name is found in each and every one of us. So when we're going to be there, we're going to be there with Him. Not just in a spiritual, physical sense, but it's going to be that true father-son, father-daughter relationship. At least that's what it means to me. It's going to be more than the relationships that we have with one another. Okay? We mean quite more. It's going to be that father-son, father-daughter relationship, pure and real. In Psalms 135 says, "Blessed be the Lord of Zion, which dwelleth in Jerusalem." So Psalms 135, 21. "Blessed be the Lord from Zion, who dwells in Jerusalem. Praise the Lord." So that tells us, like I said, what we've been talking about, God's going to dwell there. He's going to be there. And we're going to see something in a little bit here about some beauty, how beautiful Jerusalem is, not only as it was revealed to a prophet, but also what's written in Revelation about her. So we're going to look at God's protection for his people in Psalms 125, 2. Very important. Psalms 125, 2. "As the mountains surround Jerusalem, so the Lord surrounds his people from this time forth and forever." You talk about protection. Remember what it says in 2 Thessalonians 3:3? The Lord keep us from the evil one. This kind of points to that, if you think about it. It says, "As the mountains surround Jerusalem, so the Lord surrounds his people from this time forth and forever." So the Lord's going to keep us completely secure from any harm that this world can dish out, no matter what takes place now or tomorrow or 10 years down the road. We're still going to be protected by our Heavenly Father. He doesn't change. God's city provides for his people also in Psalms 46:4. "There is a river whose streams make glad the city of God, the holy dwelling place of the Most High. God is in the midst of her. She will not be moved. God will help her when morning dawns." Do we know the name of this river? Come on, you guys know the name of this river. Huh? River of Life. Yeah, that's the name of this river. And it flows. We're going to find out here how it flows, where it flows to, and what it provides. In Ezekiel 47, so if you'll turn over there, 1 through 12, we're going to see some 47. 47, 1 through 12. So someone want to help me with the reading of this? You want me to do it? Okay. Let me go ahead and start it out, and I'll read the first six verses and then pick it up. "Then he brought me back to the door of the house." And he's talking to Ezekiel, the prophet. Okay. "And to the door of the house, and behold, water was flowing from under the threshold of the house toward the east. And for the house faced east, and the water was flowing down from under, from the right side of the house to the south side of the altar. He brought me out by way of the north gate, and led me around on the side to the outer gate, by way of the gate that faces east. And behold, water was trickling from the south side. When the man went out toward the east with a line in his hand, he measured 1,000 cubits, and he led me through the water, the water reaching my ankle. After he measured 1,000 and led me through the water, water reached my knees. After he measured 1,000 and led me through the water, water reached my loins. After he measured 1,000, and it was a river that I could not ford, for the water had risen enough water to swim in, a river that could not be forded. He said to me, 'Son of man, have you seen this?' Then he brought me back to the bank of the river." Yeah. Isn't that a wonderful place? Hey, think about it. We're going to be fishing when we get to heaven. What if I got to take my tackle with me? But look at this river, that flows from the throne of God, literally, and what it provides. I mean, it's everything that we need. Every sustenance that we need, we need healing. The leaves of the tree is going to provide healing. We need food, so we're going to have the fish. And there's going to be other animals too. So we have water for our sustenances too. Also, are you laughing at me? So anyway, if you look at this, this is just a glimpse of what's going to be taking place when we get to the New Jerusalem. Okay. Now there's more about it in Revelations 21 and 22, and if you want to, we got time to go through that a little bit. You think? Go ahead and turn over there. Revelations 21 and 22. We won't read the whole thing, but when you take it home, go read it tonight. Revelation 21 and 22. You're gonna here. God reveals the beauty of Jerusalem. Verse 21. Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth. For the first heaven and the first earth passed away, and there was no longer any sea. And I saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, made ready as a bride adorned by her husband. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, Behold, the tabernacle of God is among men, and he will dwell among them. And they shall be his people, and God himself will be among them. And he will wipe away every tear from their eyes, and there will no longer be any death, there will no longer be any mourning or crying or pain. The first things have passed away. And he who sits on the throne said, Behold, I am making all things new. And he said, Write, for these words are faithful and true. Then he said to me, It is done. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. I will give to the one who thirsts from the spring of the water of life without cost. He who overcomes will inherit these things, and I will be his God, and he will be my son. But of the cowardly and the unbelieving and the abominable and the murderers and immoral persons and sorcerers and adulterers and all liars, their part will be in the lake that burns with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. Verse 9, then the one of the seven angels who had the seven bowls full of seven last plagues came and spoke with me, saying, Come here, I will show you a bride, the wife of the Lamb. And he carried me away in the spirit to a great and high mountain, and showed me the holy city, Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, having the glory of God. Her brilliance was like a very costly stone, as a stone of crystal clear jasper. It had a great and high wall with 12 gates, and at the gates 12 angels. And the names were written on them, which were the names of the 12 tribes of the sons of Israel. There were 3 gates on the east, and 3 gates on the north, and 3 gates on the south, and 3 gates on the west. And the wall of the city had 12 foundation stones, and on them were the 12 names of the 12 apostles of the Lamb. The one who spoke with me had a gold measuring rod to measure the city and its gates and its wall. The city is laid out as a square, and its length is as great as its width. And he measured the city with the rod, 1,500 miles in length, and width and height are equal. And he measured it, and he measured its wall, 72 yards according to human measurements, which are also angelic measurements. The material of the wall was jasper, and the city was pure gold like clear glass. The foundation stones of the city wall were adorned with every kind of precious stone. The first foundation stone was jasper, the second sapphire, The third, Chalcedony. Okay. The fourth, emerald. The fifth, sardux. Okay. The sixth, sardis. And the seventh, chrysolite. And the eighth, beryl. And the ninth, topaz. The tenth, chrysoprase. There, that's it. The 11th, jacinth. The 12th, amethyst. And the 12 gates were 12 pearls. Each one of the gates was a single pearl. And the street of the city was pure gold, like transparent glass. And I saw no temple in it. For the Lord God, the Almighty, and the Lamb are its temple. And the city was had no need of the sun, or of the moon to shine on it, for the glory of God has illumined it, and its lamp is the Lamb. The nation will walk by its light. The nations will walk by its light, and the kings of the earth will bring their glory into it. In the daytime, for there will be no night there. Its gates will never be closed, and they will bring the glory and the honor of the nations into it. And nothing unclean, and no one who practices abomination and lying shall ever come into it, but only those whose names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. And isn't it a fantastic place? Golly, isn't that just, you know, when I was younger, I had this book. They had all the rocks in it. You know, you probably had one of those books that showed all the minerals and what the rocks look like. And I went through that, what was written there, and I tried to get the colors of some of the stones that he talks about in this right here. It's a beautiful place, but some of them you can't find. No man has seen some of these yet. Some of these stones that are written here, they're just not in. Well, they weren't in any books that I could find on those, but most of them were. But then he goes on, he says, then in chapter 22, then he showed me a river of water of life. And here's a river that we read about a while ago, okay, in Ezekiel. Clear as crystal, coming from the throne of God and of the Lamb. In the middle of its street, on either side of the river, was the tree of life, bearing 12 kinds of fruit. What a tree. Yielding its fruit every month, and its leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nations. There will no longer be any curse, and the throne of God and of the Lamb will be in it, and his bondservants will serve him. They will see his face, and his name will be on their foreheads. And there will no longer be any night, and they will not have need of the light of the lamp, nor the light of the sun, because the Lord God will illumine them, and they will reign forever and ever. Amen. So you see how beautiful, and what's going to be taking place, and what we're going to see when we get to heaven. I mean, it's unimaginable to us right now. It really is. But the day when our eyes are opened, I mean, truly open, and we see all these wonderful and fantastic things taking place right before us, and we get to be part of that. That's what's so neat about it. So don't give up. Don't give up. Don't let the enemy beat you down. We're going to be there, all right? God's going to take us and put us in this place, and we'll be with him forever. Amen? Okay, anybody want to add? Please, go ahead. Ezekiel 5:5. Okay. I knew that. Amen. Yeah, the center of the world. The center.
When you fold the world map from Israel.
It's right there in the center.
And then you fold it like this,
still Israel.
And the
center. Yeah. Yeah, that's great. So that's where we're going to be, fishing pole with us. No. No? There won't be no, I didn't say that, no golf. But, go ahead. Always, yeah. Yeah, I think we'd be surprised at how many people are. Yeah, just the opposite. Even though that we may not, you know, for my prayers, no, I don't pray for her every day. I don't. It's just when I'm in prayer, and if the Holy Spirit brings it to mind or to memory, then yeah, I will. I'll pray for her. Pray for peace for her. And that's what we're supposed to be doing. Because, you know, we want, along with the Jewish people, peace in Jerusalem. Yeah, we do. We do. There was something that we said Tuesday night as Herb was teaching, how the Jewish people want to go back to the old ways, the old sacrifices, but they're still wanting to do that today. To this very day, they want to go back to that old system where they're sacrificing animals and stuff. And I shared with him, I don't know if you guys caught this on his channel, but the speakers were talking about how they've got in plans right now to build underground railroads from the airport to the Temple Mount to bring people in from all over the world for this sacrifice. And they also have plans for this train that has these cars, these cattle cars, I guess you could say, to come and bring all the animals. So, and something else I forgot to share with you guys Tuesday night also was that the name of the station that the trains are going to be stopping is going to be Donald Trump Station.
What?
Yeah. They're going to name it that.
What?
Donald E. Trump. Is it his middle initial E? Or J. Donald J. Trump. Yeah. So that's the station's going to be named that. So.
What are we talking about?
Yeah. You were talking in Ezekiel 47, correct?
Yeah.
The border of the land. Uh-huh. You notice that the river changed the sea into fresh water. There was only a certain part of it that stayed salty. Okay. Yeah. Always. Okay. Anything else? All right. Let's go before the Lord in prayer. We have our prayer list.